Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to this Game of Thrones spoiler cast show. Ooh, sorry, wrong notes there. It is the Draft Doctors, and we are talking all Australian fantasy teams for this week. We decided to do it because the AFL completely stuffed up theirs yet again with a few glaring omissions. But to help us do that, as usual, he has risen from the dead from his bubonic plague, or maybe just a bit of saltiness from losing the Keeper League Grand Final on the weekend. Woo-hoo. Stevie Fizz, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, I'm doing much better than I was 2 days ago. It's actually been a really rough winter. I don't think I've ever been this sick. There's the benefits of having a child right there, people. But, listeners, I did want to say thanks to everyone who's going to stick with us for the off-season program. I've asked for some input on the Facebook and the Twitter as to the parts of the show you're enjoying, you're not enjoying, and we've had a really great response. So if you haven't seen those or you wanted to say, oh, I think you guys should do this or I like this or whatever, please hit us up. They're pinned at the top of our Facebook page and the Twitter page. So let us know your thoughts, and I really appreciate everyone who's done that so far.
Yeah, no, and as always, our Tassie Statesman, he is the brand new owner of a new cap. I don't know why he's going to wear it in Tasmania, because apparently the sun doesn't shine down there to warrant the use of it.
With this cap, to you. With this cap, gentlemen, it will be worn all the time. And hashtag the choke is over. I was in 3 grand finals out of my 5 ultimate footy leagues and won all 3, gentlemen, including finally having a captain option in the keeper league for the listener league. And quite happy that I beat Stephen. And I've been pretty tame, to be fair. I haven't hopped on the Twitter and embarrassed him or taken the piss out of him like the loser we got Big Cox would have done. But no, it's been quite enjoyable, gentlemen. I've been enjoying myself. Had Nick Riewoldt go in the grand final this year, eh?
A bit like the Saints, just fell away right at the end there.
Yes. No, it's been an enjoyable weekend, obviously in quite a few different formats. Yep, made the top 100 in AFL Fantasy, although off-air was explaining my disaster at round 12 when I should have been bringing in Cruiser but brought in Pierce Hanley instead, which was a bit of an idiot move, and I think I responded and reacted from there on in that competition. So certainly could have been a lot higher than what I was, but I'll take the cap, quite excited by that, and finish just behind Ridge United in real dream team in 14th position. I should have been in the top 10 there, but unlucky, but had a fantastic year of fantasy footy, so can't complain.
So it was 14th last position in Real Dream Team, or
it just scrapes in the top 10%. But I will say my real highlight of the fantasy season in the game, and I still don't understand it, never will. I actually made the top 5,000 in Supercoach. Would you believe? Woo. I think that's my highest ever ranking.
That's a fair effort.
Yeah, don't know if I'll play it again next year. I'll get confused.
Well, even us people who have played Supercoach for a long time still get confused by how they score the game. But speaking of fantasy finals wins, if you were in the grand final and did win on the weekend, congratulations to you on bringing home the trophy. And a big congratulations to Tom / Dr. Beardface FC, who was the winner of our Listener League grand final, who beat last year's champion. Yes. We got Big Cox, Al, by 4 points, which it went down in literally the last 30 to 45 seconds of the match. So well done to you, Tom.
Just to clarify, it's only the winner that gets an automatic selection to come back in, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. And who decide comes in? Is that between the three of us?
Hey, who does?
Oh, who decides that gets in?
Well, yeah, there's certainly going to be some bans thrown out from people.
Yeah, one of them would be me, seeing as I haven't made finals yet, so we'll let the past champion in.
Well, I think we need to actually switch the format over to Supercoach just to give you a fighting chance, mate. Maybe take someone down a couple pegs as well.
That's true, but I am hanging my... The only win I've had this year is against the Statesman in the Big Bash Fantasy League we had at the start of the year, so I do need a win.
And there was a few complaints that I wasn't salty enough last week after being defeated in the preliminary final. I hope I've evened the balance up there, gentlemen.
Certainly have.
I'm not used to seeing him happy. This is terrible. God.
They got a new desal plant down there in Tassie or something.
Oh, God.
But a bit of news coming out through the week. The All-Australian squad has been named. And just a couple of glaring omissions for me was Jack McRae, Clayton Oliver, and Mitch Duncan. What are your thoughts on that, guys?
Yes, agree. All three should be in.
Good players miss out. Let's remember that.
Oh, that is true.
And I will say McRae comes into our mind straight away because he's one of the leading forwards in fantasy model. And when you really look at it, he's probably getting put against more wingman-type players. So there's probably an argument that in fantasy terms, yes, we say McRae should be in, but probably in real footy terms, maybe not. Clayton Oliver... if you look at his form in terms of numbers, look very impressive. But if you add up the old mark of how many metres gained and all that type of stuff, there's a bit of a question mark. And Matt Crouch is in probably a similar position. So you're probably comparing a Matt Crouch and a Clayton Oliver. If I wanted to pick one of those right now for a footy team, I'd go Matt Crouch. So that's why probably Oliver missed out. And who was the last one?
Mitch Duncan.
Yeah, I think, it's a bit tough for Mitch Duncan, but again, who are you kicking out for him? It's there's some real quality mids in there. So it's a tough gig for midfielders, there's no doubt, because you don't have 16 midfielders.
Well, I remember Dane Swan was parked at the half forward one year when he was playing pure mid, so yeah, it doesn't matter. But other news, Lachie Hansen for North Melbourne has not been offered a contract for next year. 29-year-old defender may retire, but he has been plagued by injuries throughout his career. So hopefully someone does pick him up and give him a go because he's been a pretty solid defender.
I was really shocked when I read the article today, and I was more really shocked because I didn't realise he was 29. I still think he was a young key position that was waiting to get his opportunity to fight for his space, thinking he was 23, 24. So really surprised 29, and it's probably fair enough because he hasn't been in their best 22 for a while.
No, that's true. And probably the biggest news coming out today is Rory Sloane was rushed to hospital where he's had his appendix removed. We know Eddie Betts had his removed throughout the year. Thank God for the bye weekend because you don't think Rory Sloane would have played this weekend if he got it.
Well, what worries?
He's just finding a way to lose more weight so he can get away from the taggers.
I think he needs to stay away from the metal crustio. That's a real problem.
Is that Smarties or M&M, Steve? I didn't hear that.
That was great. We had the argument in the Fizz House, Smarties or M&Ms. I was obviously on the M&Ms. Landslide victory. M&Ms, they're the best. They're fantastic.
Of course it is. There is no debate. Hey, I mean, you've got crispy, you've got peanut, you've got chocolate.
Look at the insanity I'm living with.
God, I feel for you. I feel for you. So do the listeners, obviously, by the way they voted. David Zaharakis has signed a 4-year deal with the Bombers, which will tie him there to, 2021, if my math is correct. The Demons, how good was that for a choke? I haven't seen that since Richmond in a final series.
Look, you know, when you're up against the Sharon Goat, sometimes Jesse Hogan just falls apart yet again. Cost the Demons a spot, cost my team a grand final.
No chance.
Even Big Cam couldn't save him.
But you live with a Melbourne supporter there, Steve, so being a bit frosty around the house, has it?
She, much like me, didn't know until Monday. I didn't know because I was, dead. She didn't know because she was nursing me. She did a great job nursing me, I will say that.
Good to hear. And, Statesman, you've had a little bit to do with the AFLW. Sam Virgo has done an ACL for the Brisbane Lions, so she's going to miss the season. Do you know much about Sam at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Gun defender and was the rock and defence for Brisbane and help keep Brisbane to the best defensive team in the AFLW's inaugural competition. So it's going to be a big loss for Brisbane. And, of course, they've lost the bookends now because Taylor Harris has moved on down to Carlton as well. So lose their centre-half forward, slant full forward, and their best key backman. That's big losses for Brisbane. So they've got a fair bit to catch up to remain in the hunt for the top two.
Certainly do. And if you are enjoying the show, we are on social media where you can check us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman 33. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. The Facebook page, just search The Draft Doctors there. And, guys, we're on Instagram now. We are The Draft Doctors. We will be dropping content throughout the preseason, player profiles, some videos, so you will see our ugly mugs on there as well. Yes, Statesman.
Would you like to, for me to give you a picture of my cap? You can go on Instagram.
That would be great. That's fine. That would be great. We'll put that up and we'll put a little, like Rob the Dentist, put a little black mark over it so we can count it down for you.
And my ultimate footy premiership certificates.
Yeah, we'll put all them up and just black them all out and just
you don't take them around to mum's and pin them on the fridge and.
And we can actually show the results of the listener league where we got big cocks lost.
Yeah, we can put all up that now. We can take videos, so check us out. But what's sad is we've only been on Instagram for less than 24 hours and the Draft Doctors account has more followers than me.
That's awesome.
Very sad. But we are talking all Australian fans.
How bad's your content?
Beer, just craft beer. That's all it is.
Craft beer wanker stuff. Yeah, there you go. Too many IPAs, Jono. Take the IPAs down.
No. Not all IPAs. There's a lot of stouts and porters.
Don't lie. You're talking my language, so don't lie.
Jay, if you follow me on Instagram, you can have a look for yourself.
God, no.
We are talking about all Australian fantasy team. And the way we had our own choice of how we picked these teams, whether it was ADP, waiver wire pickups, who outperformed from the start of the year. But we're going to kick it off with the defenders, which was my area, which I chose. And kicking it off was Sam Doherty. Couldn't go past him. Number one scorer in both formats of the game. Was a couple of hundred points clear in Supercoach and didn't include Taylor because it was pretty close, but he was 400 points clear in Dream Team to lead as well. Averaging 120 in Dream Team, 116 Supercoach. The guy was averaging 28 possessions, 9 marks as a defender. So that's midfield type numbers there. He's going to be a top 10 pick and a top 10 scoring defender, I think, for years to come. In your drafts, he's kick to handball ratio 3-1, 93% time on ground. He's not missing. He's going to move up into the midfield, so couldn't go past Sam Doherty.
Yeah, of course. Have to have him.
And it's good to get him into trade from the Statesman as well.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not a pinch on Lachie Neal, but decent defender. And, of course, in every format, he's the number one defender. Had a sensational year, there's no doubts about that, and deserves to be All-Australian.
Do you think he continues that 119?
No, God, no!
No.
Because he was averaging 132 at one stage, which is just ridiculous.
Well, it's not going to continue because he's not going to keep taking... He's not going to lead the competition in marks. This is not going to happen. Like, yeah, if he loses two marks a game, he loses two possessions with it, that's 10 points. Bang, gone.
I think his game plan's going to evolve as well.
Well, that's why he would lose the marks.
Yeah.
And I think he'll end up being about 100 average defender, which is exceptional, don't get me wrong, but that's what he'll end up being.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's only three defenders in both formats to go over 100 this year, and he was one of them. My next defender, Michael Hurley, completely underrated this guy this year. Coming back in off the drug suspension, he had an ADP of 106. So you're getting them there around about the 10th round. He was actually one of four defenders in Supercoach to average 100 this year. 5th on the scoring list overall, 10th in Dream Team. He did miss two games, so he probably would have got a bit of a bump up there in that in both of them. The return on value with him is just fantastic. As we said, ADP of 106. I had him as my 36th defender for the year, and Steve, you actually ranked him 33 in the Dream Team rankings, so that put him down as a D3, D4. What his return, that's just fantastic right there. 102 average in Supercoach, 94 Dream Team. Again, he's averaged 25 disposals and 8 marks for the season. So just a fantastic return there for Michael Hurley.
Yeah, you'd have to say he was arguably the pick of the returning Bombers. He was fantastic.
He had a slow first couple of weeks from memory, but from there until obviously missing the last two rounds, he was sensational. And outside Doherty, he was probably the most consistent defender. Although I would have brought him down a little bit, being missing for your preliminary final and grand final, certainly would have hurt a little bit. But I'm not against him getting All-Australian honours for fantasy footy.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and Zacharakis have probably been the best two perform Bombers besides Zach Merritt as well this year, you would think. My next guy, I love this guy from 2 years ago because he helped me win a grand final. It's Dylan Robinson from the Saints. He had an ADP this year of 183, so well up from his averages of last year where he went 95 in Supercoach this year, 92 Dream Team. We spoke about it early in the year. I thought he was hampered by Jake Carlisle not playing as that lockdown defender where Robinson had to play that role as that medium-slash-tall defender. So it really hurt his intercept barking and rebound. And that showed this year where he was fourth in Supercoach for scoring, sixth in Dream Team. He was 6 rebounds a game, 23 possessions, 6.5 marks. So all his stats were increased this year. His averages were fantastic. 87% time on ground, so really love the way Dylan Robinson was used this year in fantasy and in the game with Saints.
Yeah, no, he was fine. I mean, how's that ADP? Gosh, it's your last pick.
Well, he's actually the 206th pick in our listener league.
Wow. Yeah, quite impressive. I think the only thing that goes against him and for the person that I would have picked in my six, and maybe he challenges him just for the last 5 games. Robinson averaged 71 points for the last 5 games. So come finals time, he really wasn't there for you. His first half, exceptional, got you into position and probably gave you enough wins to play finals. But he was unreliable with 71 average for the final series.
Yeah, fair enough, but the next guy, he's just a fantasy stud and solid as they come. It's Rory Laird. His ADP was 36 for his average of 101 both formats from 85% time of ground. He was the 4th highest scoring in Dream Team and 3rd in Supercoach. The averages, 30 possessions a game, 5.5 marks. That's right up there with the midfielders. He's got a high floor, high ceiling. He had top scores of 142 in Dream Team, 147 in Supercoach. He's going to be producing scores like that for years to come with the way Adelaide play. And guess what, boys? It's only his 5th season of AFL football as well.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to love that. And realistically, you'd have to think he should be getting drafted in the early 20s rather than the mid-30s.
He did get picked up, pick 22 in our listener league.
Well, that's a good return. Point of reference. That's a good return on value.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
Agreed.
My 5th defender in our All-Australian squad is Jeremy Howe. Big raps for him this year. His ADP was 125, average of 94 Supercoach, 90 in Dream Team. Just his return on value. I think Steve called it early on the year. He was very high on him. Wanted him in his team, probably as his D2, but if you got him there, he would have returned exceptional value. Average of 22 possessions, 8.5 marks a game, if you don't mind, gents. 8th total in scoring for Dream Team and 10th for Supercoach. I had him ranked at the start of the year as 11th. Steve, you had him 17th, so he's just his game is really fantasy friendly. He takes those intercept marks, he rebounds. He's that, especially in Supercoach, where if you start that link in the chains for scoring, you get more points. So really, really love the way he goes about it. But coming up at 29 years of age, it could be the end for him with the rise of the Sharon Goat.
It's going to be very interesting to see what Collingwood do, because they got three similar players. Obviously, Howe's the best intercept mark, but Langdon and Scharenberg, that's their game. So I'll be quite interested to see how they manage to all squeeze in the same team, or if they do. But, I mean, you'd have to think Howe's got a couple more years. Just it doesn't look like he's slowing down. He can still jump over people.
Well, yeah. How many cars would he have won this year? About 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Jeremy Howell as well, gentlemen.
And my last defender, he's going to go close to winning the NAB Rising Star. It's got to be Ryan Burton. His ADP was 280, so when undrafted in probably just about every single league, unless you're a mad Hawthorn supporter, spent 86% time on ground for an average of 84 in both formats. Average 21 possessions, 5.5 marks. He was listed as a forward, but good old Al Clarkson shifted him in defence, where he really flourished and really got on the radar in terms of fantasy scoring. Lots of upside to him. Hopefully, Clarko does leave him down there, especially with Gibson, Hodge all retiring. So he might play that general role that Hodgie's played, which was being pretty fantasy-friendly in the past. So look to use him as possibly as a D3, 4 next year. What are your thoughts? Or even a D2?
If he was your D2, you would have gone, I think, strong elsewhere. I think if you suggested to me he was going... Well, he was fantastic, and I like the pick. I think if you said to me he was drafted around 9, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But that's early days. We don't know who's... A lot of that's going to come down to who gets defensive status and whatnot.
Proud member of the Statesman Premiership team, just in case you're unaware, Steve. Unfortunately, didn't play the grand final, so that hurts a little bit, to be honest, but brought a nice guy in to replace him, Matthew Boyd, for the week, which did all right. But look, I think that role is secured for him. He just looks so classy, reads it well, he doesn't panic with the footy. I think he's going to be a mid-80s, low-90s scorer for the next decade, cleaning up on the halfback. And I think you described that sort of Hodge-Gibson role. That's exactly what he's going to do, and do it very well.
If his game time is around the mid-80s and he's scoring at a point per minute, would it make sense that he's just going to go up with game time? We know defenders generally average about 92-93%.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest drama with those type of players is depending on how the game situation goes. If they need to close down and lock down, then there's times that their scoring's not going to be well. But I think you're right. The more he actually plays and as he develops his tanks, only in his second season of footy, and we know through his junior years he had a lot of major injuries, so he's sort of come out of the woodwork, that I think Burton's going to be one of the top 10 defending scorers for a long period of time.
Yeah, no, love it. But moving on now to Statesman, where you had the midfield / ruck position.
I think I might challenge you for one position first, if you actually don't mind. I've got a defender that we should have seriously looking at. Now, I understand there might be criticism for you because he wasn't a defender in that format that I don't understand too well, but Jack Crisp averaged 88 and his total score was only 40 points below Dylan Robinson, which actually made him the 6th highest scoring defender in both Ultimate and AFL Fantasy. Played full 22 games and his ADP was 182, but I'll explain the major difference. Come finals time, Jack Crisp was there for you, Dylan Robinson wasn't. There was a 20-point average difference in their last 5 rounds. And highlighted, grand final week, Dylan Robinson scored us 38. Could have lost many coaches the grand final. Where Jack Crisp just pumped out his average, 93 he scored in the grand final. You're not losing a grand final with a 93, but you certainly can with a 38. So that was the one that I looked at for the top six scoring defender at an ADP in the 19th round, averaging that high and playing every single game and delivering come finals time. I think he should be seriously considered for All Australian defender.
Well, that's fair enough if you want to do Mickey Mouse things like draft midfielders and luck into them turning into defenders. But I will say this, Daceman, you're on the assumption that everyone's playing finals in the same week, which we know is not the case.
Sorry, I'm just used to playing finals.
Well, we had people winning their grand finals in round 17.
In Supercoach?
In both formats.
Both formats.
So it's just a thing. But I'll give you the real stunning omission, gentlemen, from Jono's defensive line. And it's not one of my favourite players, but he played fantastically well this year. And it's Taylor Adams, of course. Why is it Taylor Adams, Stephen? Well, he was the second highest averaging defender in both formats. But the knock in draft season on Taylor Adams was he misses games. He's never played more than 18 games. Well, this season he played 22 games. Absolutely return value, smashed it out of the park. I think he averaged 115 in Dream Team, which is quite unbelievable. He is a stunning omission for mine.
The only reason I didn't put him in because he didn't play defence, and I'm talking about defenders here, but he was...
Oh, is this just fantasy?
I'm going on semantics here.
Oh,
I'm not doing like the proper AFL. Let's put Dane Swan as a full forward just to get him in the team. I'm talking pure defenders here. I don't care about this DPP crap. But he is... I do like the pick. I do like the pick.
Steve's right. He is a glaring omission, but there was one thing that I actually did in defining my All-Australians was, can your team pick all these players? Now, to me, with the average draft position that Taylor Adams had, you had the choice when that selection come up. Am I taking Doherty, or am I taking Adams? And if I was going to pick one or the two on this year's performance, I actually would pick Doherty, although it's fair to say Adams' final 8 rounds were just sensational. He, for that period of the season, Adams was the number one defender. Prior to that, it was actually Sam Doherty.
You know what you should do is just find some sap to trade Doherty off.
Yeah, that's true. Just
and Jared Lyons, it was pretty handy too.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your midfield, buddy? Let's rip on them.
So, sorry, what competition did I trade him out?
I can't remember.
Keeper.
Keeper. Sorry, who won that? Sorry.
Come on, give us your terrible picks, mate.
All right. So I need to explain how I've rated my All-Australian midfielders. Of course, it's format-based and it's AFL fantasy scoring because everyone knows I don't understand, nor do Supercoach. I've based it on total scoring, so that's games and average consideration, if that makes sense, gentlemen. You miss 5 games, then you're actually getting off the cards of actually being All-Australian. And, of course, that's always got to be against your average draft position. For example, Tom Rockliffe had an average draft position of 5. His overall scoring position was 42. So that's well below par. And certainly not under consideration to be All-Australian in this format. If you have an average draft position of 5 and below, you must have played 22 games and have an outstanding average to be in the consideration, as you can only have round 10 draft picks, because you can have round 10 draft picks in the top 10 scorers. That makes sense? So if you're draft pick number 2, then you need to be absolutely outstanding, because someone you can get 100 picks later can be only 20, 30 points behind you for the season. Last but not least, the All-Australian mids that I've picked, in 90% of leagues, one team could have picked up all of my All-Australian midfielders. Does that make sense, gentlemen? Okay. Which is the same discussion as Doherty and Adams. You can't have both, as much as we would love to. So my All-Australian midfielders in order. Number 1, quite easy, gentlemen, Tom Mitchell. an average of 127.5. His average draft position was 18. So you could actually get him in the second round in most leagues. And, of course, he was the overall scorer number one. In position one, you cannot ignore your top scorer for the year. And I think how many games that he had 30-plus possessions and how many games he was actually tonned up. I think it's only two, maybe three for the season he was below a ton. And they were certainly not poor scores. They weren't the Zorko or the Gibbs 66. They were still ranked high enough. So if you drafted him, you could put the C on him every single week, fly the flag for your Thursday, Friday night games with your captain loophole, knowing full well if they don't blow something out of the water, then Tommy Mitchell's going to deliver. Is there any queries, concerns of him being the number one midfielder in the All-Australian fantasy team?
No, drafted him in Supercoach at 14 and had a very good year with him. He was very good.
Number two midfielder is Steve's favourite of all time. He was wrapping him up in the preseason. Was Josh Kelly? Not his year, Steve. I think was your line.
Might have whiffed on that one. Might have whiffed. I will say things did fall into place pretty nicely, but totally whiffed.
Yep, absolutely. 113.3 average, absolutely outstanding. One of the major increases in their average for 2017. His average draft position, and maybe influenced by the draft doctor's own Steve, was 106. So the 11th round, gentlemen, 11th round. And his overall scoring, so this includes all positions. This is not just midfielders. His overall score position was 10th, and that's after missing one game.
Impressive.
So top 10 scorer in the 11th round. So you can pick up Tom Mitchell, and 10 rounds later, you're picking up Josh Kelly. Amazing. Any concern with that one, gentlemen?
No, absolutely not.
No, can't fault that one.
Number three, exactly the same average to Mitch Duncan, 113.3. Average draft position, and the only reason he's behind Josh Kelly was 99. He was in the 10th round. And his overall score was 11 and performed quite well throughout the year. Did miss one game, and that's why, again, he missed the top 10 overall scorers. Mitch Duncan was absolutely superb, and there was a mid-season patch where he was one of the best players going around in the competition. Absolutely remarkable scoring power and very high ceiling, gentlemen. And I will say, just on going back on Josh Kelly for a sec, that one thing we were worried about Josh Kelly when he started performing well was how was the tag going to affect him, because it was going to come. Well, he got tagged one week and scored 165. That's remarkable. That's the level where, the end of the day, taggers aren't going to go to you. They're going to go to Dylan Shield because they're going to make an impact with Dylan Shield.
There's also questions on Mitch Duncan's body as well. I mean, we saw he hasn't been able to play a full season as well, so I think this would have been the first season that I can remember that he actually has played that full season.
No, he's played full seasons.
Has he?
Yeah.
Okay. I must admit, was it last year or the year before that he was really injury-ravaged?
He got hurt 2 years ago.
And last year he had a couple of patches of really good form, but role changes being that half-forward line, the Sam Menegola role now, he was dropping away, and I think Chris Scott made the assumption where we've taken Mitch Duncan away from his best position. So he admitted that during a press conference. So Mitch Duncan would have been very happy to pick him up in the 10th round and getting Josh Kelly the next round after that. But mind you, I think obviously next year they're going to go a lot earlier. My fourth midfielder is coming back to great form, averaged 110.9 and an average draft position of 97. And that is Mark Murphy, gentlemen.
Yeah, he was blistering early.
Did not miss a game. Overall score, even though his average is below Josh Kelly and Mitch Duncan, his overall score was above them and finished in eighth position for the season. So you get someone in the 10th round, 9th round, 10th round, that is going to be the overall eighth scorer in the season, you've got a magnificent option. So all of a sudden, you're actually seeing you've got four mids out of the top 11 rounds, gentlemen, that any team can pick up. Last but not least, now this was tough because basically I was covering, is it Dustin Martin? Is it Dangerfield? Is it Gibbs? Is it Merritt? Is it Zorko? Now, the main reason I ended up going for this player is he played all games and ended up being the overall fifth scorer in the season, and that's Dustin Martin. Now, I don't know whether I'm totally sold because the impact he has on games. In other words, he just looks like he's a top three player in the competition. His average draft position was 17. So he was quite early, so you would have probably had to pick him up in the first round and Tom Mitchell in the second round to get them all in your team. Now, I don't think many people would have gone Dustin Martin in the first round, and I certainly would have gone Tom Mitchell before Dustin Martin. But technically, 90% of the competitions, one team could have picked up both Tom Mitchell and Dustin Martin. So that's why I went for him. Went for 22 games, so ended up being a top five scorer.
Yeah, I like that Dusty Martin pick because I was actually pretty sceptical on him coming into the start of this season. Playing more midfield, there's always been questions on that tank of his. Hasn't been a problem. He's gone forward to rest, kicked goals. And when they do put the tag on him, he just gives them the old fend off and goes about his business. Good pick.
There would have been some leagues where you could have got Dusty Martin in the third round.
That's incredible.
I got him at, what, pick 14 in the keeper league. Like, he ain't gone anywhere past me. He's a gun. And he came second overall in our Supercoach average as well.
Well, there you go. The unlucky ones just before I raise my reserve, Dangerfield, 120 average, average draft position 3. He was the overall third scorer. Now, I just went, okay, that's par. Only, on average, only three teams had the opportunity to pick him up, so only 30% got the option to get in. So can everyone actually get him in the team? Then no. If Dangerfield was Tom Mitchell average, I would have put him in. Does that make sense, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying only 30% can get him in. He went par. He didn't go above par. Gibbs was unlucky, 112 average, average draft position of 51. Be interesting to look back to see where you got him in the keeper league, Steve, but I'm assuming it would have been third, fourth, or fifth round.
I think it was fourth.
Yep. Overall score is 6, so he's very unlucky, and he was the only one to play 22 games out of the ones that missed out. So I had a lot of debate over Dustin Martin and Gibbs because they were the two vying for that last position, and it's fair to say I still feel probably Gibbs should have got there before Martin, but I just couldn't get away from putting Martin in the All-Australian midfield. Merritt, 117 average ADP of 13. So he had the second highest ADP of those that I considered, but his overall scoring was 7th position. So seeing you had Martin, Mitchell above him, Murphy just 1 behind, Kelly 3 behind, and Duncan 4 behind, it was hard to actually put him in that position. And Zorko was the last one I considered. 114 average, average draft position of 40, and his overall score was in 9th position. But I felt with Zorko, he missed a game. He also had a couple of just shocking games where he got tagged and got taken out. So that just gave a bit of a tainted role with him. And again, if I'm looking at would I have Gibbs, Duncan, Murphy, and Martin ahead of Zorko, the answer is yes, because of the consistency. And my reserve was Clayton Oliver, 101.6 average and an average draft position of 206. So we're talking 21st round, and he made the top 20 overall scorers, gentlemen.
And that's where I got him in both our leagues.
Wow.
Yeah, remarkable. Remarkable.
And very quickly, gentlemen, I've got the rucks as well. So one ruckman, one reserve. I found this reasonably easy. I know there's been a lot of debate when you're talking Grundy, but obviously got hurt with the 2 weeks out. You've got also Stephen Martin, who was the second highest scorer for the year, didn't miss a game, but had a period of game where he was the second ruckman, which hurt his scoring a bit. But the number one scorer, yes, he missed one game, was Matthew Kruse with 105 average. But his average draft position, gentlemen, was in the 15th round, 147. And if you remember, Gawn, Martin, Grundy all went early. So to get him 14 rounds after the rest of those boys had gone, and he ends up being the number one ruck scorer, like my team in the Keeper League, it's a remarkable feat, finally doing what the number one draft pick was meant to do, gents.
Yeah, no, can't go past it. Did you consider Ryder at all in that ruck position?
Yeah, just overall scoring is a fair bit down the mark, gentlemen. He had great patches, and I know certainly in the second half of the year he was simply elite when we talk super coach, but I was dealing with AFL fantasy scoring. And if we look at his actually scoring overall, he actually is a little bit down the track. So his average in that format is 91.7, and he scored 300 points less than Matty Kruse. So he just didn't really get into consideration. And we've also got to be mindful he missed a game as well.
I'm guessing that would be the same with Big Boy McAvoy as well.
He's my reserve, Big Boy McAvoy. Yeah. Around the same average as Paddy Ryder. The difference is Paddy Ryder's average draft position was in the 80s, where McAvoy's average draft position was 212, so 22nd round, and he is in the top five scoring rucks for the year.
But do you think this is just an outlier for McAvoy with...
But it's not. He's done it before.
No. I know he's done it before. But Hawthorn have been playing the two ruck combo with himself and the other guy can't think of it because he done his ACL. Yeah, Segler. So do we see Segler come back next year and watch McAvoy drop back down again?
There is an argument that that can happen, but I always think big men with ACLs take a bit of time to come back. Don't know if his impact's going to be quite there. It all depends whether they get that right mix of actually finding a key forward that can pinch and rest McAvoy. I think Hawthorn will be very happy with McAvoy's form, and I think that's going to be hard to forget.
Bloke by the name of Jared Ruffhead used to have ruck status.
I think clubs have got to move away from having a like when their ruckman plays forward, he actually has to be able to play forward, otherwise he's just useless now.
Yeah, it has to be a forward that can pinch it in the ruck.
Yeah.
So your ruckman take 82% of the game and your forward do the other 18% in the ruck.
But, Steve, you've got another midfielder that you'd like to discuss there with the statesman for the All-Australian squad.
Yeah, if I could just quickly touch on Paddy Dangerfield being the most glaring omission of all time. I know Statesman's doing DT, but Paddy Dangerfield's 17 points better per game than anyone else in Supercoach. Despite missing the game, was 200 points clear of the second best scorer. I think that's a miss.
If I was in any way intrigued by that game you call Super, I would totally agree with you that Paddy Dangerfield in my Supercoach team, he was my number one mid with a C on him each and every week. So totally understand that, but it was not the way I was judging it.
And just the actual guy I did write down, just I thought Danger, I saw what you're doing, Danger, but I thought Brad Ebert made a case. He had the 28th best average for Supercoach, 22nd best average for Dream Team, didn't miss, ADP of 122, if you don't mind. So that's the 13th round. His round 23 work was very big. The 4 weeks before that were sub 100, so I guess you could make a case. But he really didn't have the second half fade out that we associate with Brad Ebert, and I think he really returned value for any owners. But I've got to be honest, it's hard to make a case against the guys you listed.
Yeah, and when you think you can get Josh Kelly the round just before Ebert pops up.
That's the problem.
Yeah, then you're going on to another position. Yeah, it's I understand too, and you're right. What we expected to happen is drop off, and in one format, I actually brought in Brad Ebert in the last round because I was confident he was going to score well against Gold Coast, and he did.
Nah, fair point. But the guy you mentioned before was Dane Zorko. He's my point of contention with you, Statesman. You said you picked on ADP and where they returned. Dane Zorko, as you said, was ADP of 40. In Dream Team, he was the eighth total scoring midfielder overall, just in midfielders only, so, and 11th in Supercoach. So it's just blown your theory right out of the water there.
No, actually not, because five rounds after, you could have got Mark Murphy that scored better than him. But anyway, that's...
Well, he averaged 114 in Dream Team and 110 Supercoach. And as well as the big question on him, he did lose the forward status this year, and we all thought with Rocky and Beams being in that midfield, he would have just gone by the wayside. But he actually outperformed basically both of them on his own. He went forward, kicked goals. His ceiling was huge. We saw him with his best score of 196 Supercoach, 181 Dream Team as well. He does kick goals, unlike Mark Murphy, so you can argue the point from him. Only spends 84% time on ground two, so it's not a bad return for a bloke who got drafted back in 2011.
No, absolutely, but I will say I think he'll be a top two draft pick next year in our drafts.
In the first two rounds, you mean?
Yeah. But I certainly wouldn't be selecting him with all that other talent.
Yeah. Especially once Rocky and Beamsy get those shoulders cleaned out. It's going to be very interesting with that midfield.
He's a fun player to own. I will say that, though.
I reckon he's like Gibbs would be. You'd be sweating on the Saturday.
Just watching the game and you're just watching him bust through packs and kick. I like watching him play. He's like Dustin Martin light.
Light. I'm more thinking... That's when things are going well, because Zorko's an absolute star. This is why I like a Josh Kelly. Get tagged and get 165 versus get tagged and get 42.
Have you seen the size of Zorko? He's like a 4-foot midget.
Yeah, but that's where I lose the fun, is those days where it just gets ugly.
But moving on, it is to the forwards, and I'm pretty interested to hear who Steve has picked for his forwards here.
Well, no surprises. The number one cab off the rank is Jack McRae. He was the number one scorer, ADP of 26, led the scoring in both formats. Ultra, ultra consistent, played every game, only one Dream Team score under 86 and only two Supercoach scores under 80. What a remarkable season. How is he not in the All-Australian 40-man squad? And Bont is, I'll never know.
As a forward, how many goals did he kick for the year?
I don't even know.
No.
He did move. He did move inside. He did move more inside this year, so that was interesting. He moved off the wing more inside. So interesting to see if they continue with that.
And top averaging forward in the last five rounds. So he delivered during the finals too.
You got to love that. How about this guy? He was ADP of 134. Statesman mentioned him early in the year as a points per minute beast. I didn't believe it, but he came through in flying colours with his defensive role, and that's Elliot Yeo.
Yo, man!
Top five forward by average in both formats. Very consistent, and he was smashing it out early. Did have a little bit of a role change to the midfield, but still kept scoring well, although he was absolutely blowing it out of the water in Supercoach with the intercept marks early in the piece. I think if you drafted Elliot Yeo, you would be supremely happy with the return.
Absolutely, gentlemen. And he may have lost his ceiling in the second half, but what he gained this year was actually what you mentioned before, is consistency.
Yeah, and I think Adam Simpson mentioned it halfway through the year when he said we just had to settle him a bit. And yeah, it's a good plan. It's a good plan. My third forward, one of Statesman's favourites, average draft position of 99, and that is Jack Billings, a top 10 forward. And look, there was a lot of these guys there was a lot of these guys who are in the round 10 draft range who were all sort, and there was a lot of them who had the potential to blow up. Some of them didn't, named Josh Caddy. Some of them did, especially Jack. But let's remember that's.
Can I say I picked Josh Caddy as my first forward in the keeper league? I did, and went Billings as my second. That's disgraceful.
So yeah, but there was a lot of discussion, and I think the forwards were weaker this year, and Billings had a very slow start, and he was someone you could have traded on the cheap after about round five, but his second half was absolutely massive. His final series was huge, averaged in the mid-90s. And how's this, guys? There was only two players to kick 20 goals for the year and have a goal-kicking efficiency of under 40%.
Billions. Once he cleans that up,
this man could score anything. He will be, I've tweeted it out, he should be the number one ranked forward going into next year, pending what they do. So the sky's the limit for him, and realistically. The other one was Marcus Bontempelli.
Yeah, had a shocker in front of goal this year, that's for sure.
So, yeah, the only 20-plus goal kickers under 40%, and they were like 34%, mind you. So, yeah. My fourth forward I'm going to list is Sean Higgins, also within the same ADP of, I know. Stop dropping, roll. So also had an ADP of 134 like Yo, but he was around the 15th best forward for Supercoach by average, around forward 10 in Dream Team, averaged your low 90s, only missed the one game, perennial burn man, but he was ultra consistent. He had the inside mid roll. He didn't let you down. He was just a great pick if you got him in the 14th round. And quite frankly, these guys who have got stank on them like Higgins, they can turn it around. So I thought he was a great pick. Guys, what do you think?
Well, until a gust of wind or a mosquito bites him, then he's gone. But no, he's had a fantastic year. And if you got him, what was it, his ADP?
134.
So what, 13th, 14th round, returned some awesome value there for you.
You know that awful feeling when you just get a little bit of throw up? Just randomly.
But see, I love these guys. I love taking the risk on these guys because they hit and, you know, good on him. The fifth forward, average draft position of 356.
Only go that deep. They go
only,
that deep.
Only 5% drafted. Talking about Kane Lambert. What a revelation. He averaged in the mid-80s in both formats, so it puts him as a low-end F2, high-end F3. Only missed round one, and the scores were pretty low when he came in, but after the bye, he was fantastic. I mean, what more can you want from a guy who came off the waiver wire and you got for absolutely free? He was ultra-consistent. Unfortunately, I think next year he'll probably lose the forward status, but fantastic return if you picked him up this year. Guys, what are your thoughts on Kane Lambert being in the All-Australian team?
Loved him, premiership player.
All I can say is RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last on-field position is, you might know him, gentlemen, as Goat Goatison. Good friend of the show. I'm talking, of course, Super Cam Pedersen. Just came out of nowhere, blew it up, got himself ruck status to go along with the forward status if you play in one of those cheating leagues. Just tons for days. Even gave you a couple of big 120s in the fantasy finals. What can you say about Super Cam? And he was on the show, so realistically, that's why he's on the show. That's why he's in the team.
Well, the only thing that sums it up with Super Cam is that I don't know if you hand drew it, Steve, or someone put it up. It was just the 50-yard goal square, and it was just Cam. That was it. That's what sealed the deal for me.
Statesman's nonplussed. It's like he's watching Twin Peaks.
Oh, God. Can I give the challenges, or you want to do your bench first?
Before we do, if you do like the show, check us out. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, please do leave a review. It helps our brand out immensely. and hit that subscribe button as we do go all year long, and the shows will be dropping for your listening pleasure. But before we'll move on just to our point of differences in the forward line. Statesman, do you want to kick off with that?
Yeah, so quickly, I would have considered Louis Taylor. I think he had a superb season. And
can I guess who your pick is, by the way? If yes. It's not Louis Taylor,
yeah.
Brad Hill.
No, definitely not. Although he did have a fantastic season. But Louis Taylor, I certainly would have considered that sort of that lower end, but I understand why he went for Cam Pedersen, and justifiable and a great star and a great friend to the draft doctors. But Louis Taylor was ADP 300 and also scored within that sort of mid-range where he's your F4 or F5. So I certainly think he's worthwhile in consideration and outdone a lot of players that would have been picked up well and truly before him. But I think the one you missed out is Mr. Lance Buddy Franklin. So averaging 96 in AFL fantasy, his average draft position was 41. He was the second highest scorer for forwards. He played all 22 games. And sorry if I'm losing perspective here, but I'm used to playing grand finals, everyone. In grand final week, he delivered you a 171. He was in your team and your opposition had Robertson. You have won the flag. Congratulations.
But grand final weeks roll on for about 3 or 4 weeks. There's only one week where he played the worst team in the one of the worst teams in the competition to kick 10 goals.
Second highest scorer for the year.
To me, he just returned value.
I could understand that, but we're talking fifth round and second highest scorer. Yeah, that's fair and justable. I would agree with that, but that like 171 just sways me a little bit.
But not everyone plays round 23, and I'd say the majority don't play round 23. Like to me, he just did what he should do. And the forwards really were a dumpster fire at the start of the year. They were getting drafted pretty late. I've got no problem with him being in.
And I hate to say this, that the other one, but maybe he got picked up a little bit early, but he's... end of season form was magnificent, and I've never really overrated him. But that's Isaac Smith.
Yeah, he had a good last few weeks as well.
As an Isaac Smith owner in Supercoach, he was a tough own.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Jono, who did you have?
Going on statement, rule of thumb, if you want return of value, this guy, ADP of 225, guys. That is Joe Danaher. He was the 14th scorer in both formats, in forwards only. So he's just come with that great service from Heppel, Zaharakis, Merritt, Parrish, McGrath. He was just getting that ball laces out. Was he third in the Coleman medal? Only averaged the 85 in both formats, but that's a key forward for you. Doesn't really get too much up the ground as it is that sole target. So, but... And this guy's just going to be a jet. And Statesman, you did pick him at the start of the year.
I think his only failing was his last four rounds was a real downturn. I don't know if that was injury or whatever the case may be, but only averaging about 60 in the last four rounds certainly hurt his season. He was around averaging the 90 mark until those last four.
Doesn't that illustrate just how bad forwards were this year?
Yeah.
Like, what did you say was forward 18, Jono?
14th.
And he averaged mid-80s.
Both formats.
Like, that's replaceable.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, Jack, so. And I would agree that Jack McRae, Jack Billings, although it was a slow start, and Elliot Yeo were really the three that you got real benefit from this year, and Jack McRae would have been reasonably early in the selections. There he is, 26, but the other two were just really great value. Jack Billings, 99, and Elliot Yeo, 134. I mean, there's only really three acceptable forwards this year.
What about your
Well, he was all right, but he missed. Yeah, you know, it was a good
player. He missed a chunk of the season.
I mean, there were so many guys who had good patches. Like, I think Toby McLean had a good patch. Like, you know, all these guys had good patches, but there were just so few good forwards. And you know, if you looked at Jono, you saw what I did in our home league. I just traded all out my name forwards because I'm like, I just picked these guys up off the waiver wire. And then you got exactly Sicily.
The same view. I had. Yeah, I had Nick Rewalt at the start of the year, traded him out. Just got rid of him. Like
Gunston, I called Gunston a bust, and he was a bust for half the way, and then they shoved him in defence, and he was great. Like, look at Dalhouse. I mean, he was a can't miss, and he stunk. And
yeah, he was a big bust.
So. That first of the description was about spot on.
Yeah. It's, it was pretty bad.
But, Steve, who was one of your bench players that you had that just didn't quite make it into...
Well, I wrote up Dangerfield as my bench player, but probably Paddy Ryder. I didn't really have the stats on him, but he was pretty good. And if you, the benefit of drafting Paddy Ryder was that if you drafted him, you could then grab a late-round ruck to go along with him. So, I mean, he averaged around 100 in Supercoach. I think he was like 90-ish in Dream Team. So whilst he didn't kill it, he was very consistent because playing the sole ruck, a fantastic role for consistency. Just unbelievable he didn't really have a better Dream Team season, I thought.
Was it the possession count that might have hurt him in Dream Team and kicking the goals?
Oh, sorry, gentlemen. I was going to answer a different or ask a different question, so I haven't got an answer for you, Jono. But my question is, and maybe it's for a different show, but lessons learned from this year, just because you brought it up, Steve, is don't we now get away from drafting rucks in the first two rounds?
Yes. Well, that was what we were saying at the start of the year, really. And we've had so many people messages saying they've had their best season, they're sitting on top of their league, they've won their final because they drafted a McAvoy, because they drafted a Witts, because they drafted a Cruiser, all these guys. And then look at what you picked up at the end of the year. Oh, I lost a guy. Well, I'll pick up Sean Darcy. Oh, I'll pick up Zach Smith. Oh, I'll pick up Bell Chambers. Oh, I did the numbers. There was 30 guys have a top 10 ruck season.
Well, even wow. Jordan Ruffin in the last 3 weeks scored exceptionally well.
So, and just keep in mind, no Nick Nat. So,
yeah.
you get another number one ruck next year. And also no Lysette, really, quite frankly, as well.
Yep. And Sandy for half a year. But, so, yeah. No.
Very, we did the numbers, and it looks like clubs have even moved away from the two ruck system even more. Even Geelong went away from it. So, it sort of tells you where the game's going.
Yeah, the format of having a forward 20% is where it's at.
Yep, so there's just going to be rucks, unless you're playing in an 18-team league or a two-ruck league on AFL Fantasy. I think they still have the two rucks for the bigger squads. There's really just no need to spend that early capital. And like maybe in Supercoach, you think Max Gawn can have a banger of a year, then fine. But then he has to do it to return value.
Yep.
That has been the All Australians team show for this week. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that. We are on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We are now on Instagram. Just search for The Draft Doctors there. We will be posting the All Australian team on Instagram. So we're going to do a little mock-up there and tag every single player because they are all on Instagram, and hopefully we can get some response from it. But
do you know how to make that?
Yeah. I've got a.
You can make that. So you don't want me to do another one of my amazing drawings with, like I did my Cam Peterson forward line?
Well, I'll just use the chart we've got from that we use at our home league.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just going to use that and put it in.
I'm really sorry, gentlemen. I do need to go because we're just having the premiership reunion tonight, so I need to go and get there and do my speech.
Well, you're the only one because we only had one premiership in the keeper.
I'm actually a bit sad that the two of us were in the bloody grand final. I want listeners to win these things. I don't want us winning them.
Yeah, that's true. Tank
like I do.
Hey?
Tank like I do.
Oh, is that your strategy?
Yeah, that's my strategy. Go good for a little bit, then just drop it right off.
Good for the hashtag brand.
Yeah. What's our show next week, Steve?
What do you want to do? Black Bookers. Let's do Black Bookers. I want to do some Black Bookers. I got a really hot one I was looking at today on the stats. I'm like, man, this guy, because I was doing my clearance percentage numbers You know, that's the thing I look at, and I'm like, man, this guy should have a banger of a year next year. Plays for the red and the black.
Parrish.
You'll have to tune in, Statesman.
Thank you very much for listening. If you won your league this week, congratulations, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.